Chapter 2. A Camping Trip and a Night of Love. Alice called Arthur early in the morning and said, "Honey, I'm inviting you to go hiking with Lyria. Will you come or not?" "Yes, of course, my love," Arthur exclaimed excitedly, once again experiencing a strong rush of the most reverent feelings towards this fragile girl with silver hair. "I am ready to follow you to the edge of the world." After talking to his beloved, Arthur called Ruslan and invited him and his girlfriend Angela to join the hiking trip. Gathering at a designated spot at the beginning of a mountain trail that could only be traveled on foot or horseback, they waited with several other couples for Lyria. She appeared a few minutes later, fragrant and radiant, wearing a comfortable hiking tunic and loose coral pants. The woman's golden curly hair was gathered into a high, neat style. After greeting all present, Lyria began to explain. "You and I, my dear ones, are going to practice Tantra right now, trying to be conscious in every action. Now, we have a long hike on a mountain road, and I give you the task not to be distracted by thoughts and empty conversations, but to contemplate the beauty of the surrounding places. Take this difficult practice responsibly and seriously." "Oh, nothing could be easier," Arthur said, turning back to his friends. Alice shook her head doubtfully, seeing her boyfriend's arrogance, but said nothing. And so they set off. Arthur began to contemplate the nature with enthusiasm. He admired the snow-white mountain peaks in the distance, the mountain river flowing in the gorge below, the clouds floating in the sky, and the rhododendron bushes blooming on either side of the path. But very soon, he forgot himself and was about to start chatting with Alice. But she shushed him, and then he remembered what he wanted to contemplate. He focused again on the scenic views, but in a few minutes, he was back in his thoughts. And if it hadn't been for Lyria's reminders, he might not have remembered that he wanted to observe the surrounding beauty until the end of the hike. The beauty around them was truly mesmerizing. They climbed up the mountain path through a thicket of boxwood, covered with a shaggy beard of moss. It was truly a fairy tale forest. Arthur was surprised at how difficult it was for him to just look around without going into his thoughts. He kept forgetting that he had decided to do so and couldn't think of it without Lyria reminding him. "So that's why I remember so little of my life. After all, I sleep all the time," a realization dawned on him. "What can I accomplish if I can't even do such a simple task?" He could see from Ruslan's face that he was having the same problem. By evening, they reached a mountain lake of amazing beauty, surrounded on three sides by snow-capped mountain peaks. Its crystal ice-cold water reflected the tall fir trees growing along its shores. From one of the slopes, a bubbling waterfall fell into the lake in the distance, and right next to the travelers, a swift mountain stream rushed noisily down the rocks from the lake. After a few moments of contemplating the surrounding natural splendor, Lyria turned to the group again. "Now, we will set up camp as consciously as you were before," she said. "Talk to each other only for business. You are to pitch your tents, gather firewood, draw water from the spring. And while you are doing this, observe your body movements, thoughts, and emotions. Don't lose your awareness. And to help you, I will sometimes say stop. Then you will need to freeze in place and not move for a while. This will help you remember the task at hand." Everyone readily began to settle in, trying not to fall asleep in their thoughts. When they heard the stop command, they froze, and their gazes immediately became clearer, more focused. Arthur froze too, keeping the same expression on his face. The direction of his gaze, his posture, feeling his breath. He was suddenly surprised to find that he had lived all his life without remembering himself. Without seeing or realizing that he was doing everything completely mechanically, like a robot, without being aware of his thoughts and movements. In the evening, when it was dark, they all sat around a cozy, crackling fire. Lyria explained briefly how to eat properly. Silently, After the prayer, they began to eat, savoring the taste of the food and chewing it thoroughly. Arthur realized that even though he considered himself a cultured man, he ate like an animal, indiscriminately shoving hot dogs and fast food into his body, undermining his health, and not understanding what he was doing and how he was eating. After dinner, the guys and girls started singing songs and telling interesting stories. One guy, a shaman whose name was Yurillo, sang an unusual cheerful song, which Arthur liked very much. "Here you were born on earth, the whole world welcomed you, and even the early morning sun dissolved the clouds. You've looked at the world, but you don't understand a damn thing. Why the big crowd all gathered around you? They watched, smiled, and dissolved in ecstasy. Drinking, eating, picking, singing, arguing, scolding. How to name their creation so that you'd learn in the institution, so that you would have for sure a happy destiny. So you'd develop slowly and obey your mummy and daddy. So you don't do anything stupid. So you don't swear or curse. So you would study well and give way to elders. So you would die in the factory and follow in your parents' footsteps. And now I live on Earth. I'm an adult now. And if the truth be told, I see only cripples. Everywhere I see a dull, stupid look on the background of gray cities. And I realize now that we've been made slaves. I'm tired of shooting and choking in the factory. I quit drinking, smoking, lying around. I started doing yoga. I started to develop spiritually. I'm all right now. Money began to appear. A lot of girls fell in love with me. But I didn't get seduced. I didn't get carried away by the world's vanity. I left everything to my friends, brothers, sisters, and enemies. I didn't want to waste the time and went to the ashram. I'm evolving even more. I'm practicing shamanism. I'm communicating with the higher power. I'm dedicating to Tantra Yoga. I'm getting into astrology to derail the destructive effects of the punishing planets. And the other day, we were sitting around, having fun and enjoying ourselves, meditating on the blazing fire. But the fire suddenly dissolved, and out of it came to us the great northern shaman. Come, you all, to the ashram, to purify your soul there, to gain power, to develop superpowers, to not be a dumb sheep in the gray social herd, to renounce the programs you've been brainwashed into. When the shaman finished his song, everyone applauded in a single, heartfelt burst. In spite of the jocular humor of the song, there was a simple but profound meaning in the words, which Arthur had only recently discovered. And then, suddenly, someone pointed up into the sky. And, looking up, everyone froze in amazement. Right above their heads, a real UFO was moving across the dark sky. The flying saucer stopped, hovered above them, and a few seconds later it swerved and veered sharply to the left, moving away from its previous trajectory. While everyone was recovering, Alice told an amazing story about how she had been abducted by aliens when she was a child, after which she began to see auras of people and objects. A mystical, mysterious atmosphere was created around the campfire. Garlands of stars dotted the sky. Fireflies flew around. Cicadas crackled. And a warm, fresh wind blew. The big round moon looked majestically at the people, illuminating the space with a mysterious cold light. After admiring this splendor, Arthur and Alice went to their tent to sleep. Catching Arthur's concerned look, Alice told him with a smile, "Darling, today you and I are going to practice Madkuna, but don't be in a hurry because sex should also be a spiritual practice." Arthur looked at his beloved with tenderness and awe, feeling the passion inside, as a powerful flow of sexual energy was coming from the girl. But this passion was not like what he had felt with other girls. It was backed up by a deep feeling. He felt his soul reaching out to Alice. He felt that everything would be different with this girl. Every minute with her was filled with meaning. Arthur knew that he would remember this night for the rest of his life. Alice woke up in the morning and didn't find Arthur near her, and she came out of the tent. The sun had not yet risen from the horizon, and there was a thick, milky white mist in the lowlands surrounded by the mountain slopes. She found Arthur sitting on the bank in a very depressed state. He had his face in his knees, and his hands were clasped around his head. The girl came over and, dropping down on the grass, gently touched the boy's shoulder. "Honey, are you feeling bad?" she asked softly. The boy raised his head and looked at his beloved with unspeakable pain. Their gazes met, and Alice could almost physically feel his regret, his anger at himself, and his guilt. "I've spoilt everything. Forgive me, my love, if you can," Arthur said quietly, and then lowered his head again. "I shouldn't have... I couldn't control myself. I lost my head and allowed such a stupid drain of sexual energy." Alice hugged her lover's shoulders. "Don't worry so much, honey," she said softly, comforting him. "Yes, you had an orgasm, and as a tantric, you shouldn't have let it happen. But you were just beginning to learn Tantra. It takes practice to learn to control your sexual energy." "So you were not angry with me for what happened?" Arthur asked, raising his eyes to the girl again. She smiled gently. "Of course not, sweetheart," she said, running her fingers through his hair. "It's hard enough to do it right the first time, but we'll do the ritual of Mayat Kuna again when you're ready and can control your energy better." Arthur smiled back, and in his gaze, his admiration for this girl, tenderness, and sincere, reverent love shone with renewed vigor. "And what did you feel after the orgasm?" Alice asked suddenly. Arthur thought for a while, staring at the milky white shroud of mist that enveloped the lake surface. "Emptiness and weakness," he said at last. "It was a very strong drain of energy. I even felt for a moment that my feelings for you were dulled. There was so much indifference, so much apathy. It was unpleasant, and I just wanted to turn away and fall asleep." "I understand your feelings, my love," Alice said. "That's why we learn to manage our sexual energy, to restrain ourselves and control its flows. The main thing is that you should draw the necessary conclusions from this experience." Arthur looked at the girl with adoration. "You know, I suddenly realized that all my feelings, emotions, experiences are based on unrealized sexual energy, and without it, they are immediately dulled, and there is only indifference and pain in the lower abdomen from de-energization." "That's a very valuable conclusion," Alice nodded again. "So you didn't live yesterday's experience in vain." Alice nodded at the misty surface of the pond. "Would you like to go for a swim?" she suggested. "The cold water of this lake at the place of power would help to cheer up and cleanse yourself of negative impressions." The boy got up from the ground, threw off his clothes, and slowly entered the scalding cold water. He was floating in the fog in a peculiar state. It seemed to him that right now he was in some unearthly mystical space. When he came out of the water, he felt energized and invigorated. A wave of goosebumps ran through his body. The harsh aftertaste left by Mayat Kuna's unsuccessful practice was completely gone. When he came ashore, Alice was still waiting for him on the shore. "Shh, look," she whispered to him, pointing with her palm towards the mountains. Arthur looked in that direction and was stunned. The outline of someone's huge face was clearly visible in the fog. "What is that?" he blurted out. "It's the spirit of the land, Ayami," Alice explained in a whisper. They prayerfully folded their hands in reverence, greeting her, and then the image began to slowly dissolve into the air. Arthur felt better than ever. He began to realize how hard it was to live in the city, and that nature brought him closer to God.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org.